I love Islam. I love Islam. I love Islam. I love Islam.
Alhamdulillahi Rabbil Alameen. Wassalatu wassalamu ala Sayyidil Mursaleen. Amma ba'd. Fa'a'udhu billahi minash shaitanir rajim. Bismillahir Rahmanir Rahim. Assalatu wassalamu alayka ya Rasulullah.
Salatu wassalamu alayka ya Rasulullah.
Wa ala alika wa ashabika ya Habiballah.
Wa ala alika wa ashabika ya Habiballah.
Assalatu wassalamu alayka ya Nabiyallah.
Salatu wassalamu alayka ya Nabiyallah.
Wa ala alika wa ashabika ya Nurallah.
Wa ala alika wa ashabika ya Nurallah.
My dear viewers of Madani Channel, you're watching I Love Islam. Make sure you stay tuned, watch this program till the end. Alhamdulillah, this is your kids' educational program, and we have some exciting segments for you, inshallah azawajal. We will start off with the quiz of the day.
I love Islam. I love Islam. I love Islam.
Right then, remember this quiz is for you. We'll have two questions today. The question is, where is Holy Kaaba? Have you ever thought, where is the Holy Kaaba? Where is it? Is it in England? Is it in Pakistan? Is it in America? Is it in Arab? Where is it? Is it in Medina? Where is the Holy Kaaba? That's the question for you today. MashaAllah. Nice time for us to move on to our next segment. But just before we do that, let's quickly go and see who has joined us in the I Love Islam program today. MashaAllah, we got some three kids here who are joining the regular team here. It's I Love Islam team, MashaAllah. On that side, I have Hashim, MashaAllah. All these kids are from Oldham today. MashaAllah. Hashim, Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullah.
Wa alaikum salam wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.
MashaAllah. I like that energy there. If you can continue with that energy throughout the program, we don't want high and lows. We want to keep high all the way. Is that okay? Are you ready for the day? Are you ready for the quiz?
Yeah.
Well, we'll find out. You asked for the easy one, so I used your advice and I asked the easy question, but I'll have to follow the advice of your neighbors to give a hard question to you, because you made things easy for other people. We have to make things hard for you. Well, we'll find out in a way. We'll find out. We'll see how ready you are.
Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.
Wa alaikum assalam wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.
How are you? 10 points.
Alhamdulillah ala kulli hal. MashaAllah. I didn't move to you and you spoke early. Should you win points or should you lose points?
I said salam first, so I should win points.
Oh, you give salam first, so you should win points. I'll let you off today. You got 10 points today. 10 points. Well, then I can borrow them. I'll probably snatch them off you during the program if you get the answers wrong today.
I don't think you can.
Say again?
I do not think you can.
Oh, we'll find out. We'll find out. Do you know the answer?
What's the question?
Oh, you don't even know the question. Okay. How can you win then?
Wait, the quiz of the day one?
No, no.
Okay, the question.
Quiz I'm going to do for you.
You didn't ask me the question.
Ooh, so you don't know the answer, do you?
You don't even know the quiz.
You don't even know the question. How are you going to get the answer right?
I have to tell me.
That means the points come back to me now.
You have to tell me.
Ooh, the points only stayed with you for about 5 seconds. That was a quick one. Ooh. Okay, I'll leave them with you for a bit. I'll leave the points with you for a bit. Then let's see how long you can keep them points. MashaAllah. That was Baba Ali for you. May Allah bless him. Keep him well. MashaAllah. It looks like he's ready for the day as well. MashaAllah. We got next to him.
Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.
Wa alaikum salam wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.
How are you today?
Alhamdulillah ala kulli hal. I'm doing well. How are you, sir?
Alhamdulillah. I'm fine too. And anything good in your life?
Alhamdulillah. A lot of things are good in my life. Alhamdulillah. May Allah Ta'ala
accept Ask three things.
You ask three questions. MashaAllah. Looks like we've got a new host in the program today. MashaAllah. Either they're the host.
I think I'll get
or
deserve 20
the ghosts. They're behaving different today. They're behaving different. So maybe they might not be the people we think. They might be the ghost here. Uh-oh, we'll have to be careful. Ooh, mashallah. You guys ready, boys?
Yes.
Come on, want a bit more energy. Are you ready?
Inshallah.
Mashallah. Come on then, before we start the segment, let me share with you a hadith pak. Our beloved master, Rasulullah sallallahu ta'ala alayhi wa sallam, is reported to have said, last night, I saw a strange thing. I saw something strange. A man from my ummah who was crossing the bridge of Sirat. Remember, this bridge of Sirat is the bridge that we have to cross to enter paradise. So it's a very thin and sharp bridge. So Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, a man from my ummah who was crossing the bridge of Sirat, dragging himself and sometimes crawling on his knees. Meanwhile, the durood, the salat that he had sent on me arrived. It made him stand up on the bridge to the extent that he crossed the bridge. Subhanallah. This is the power of durood sharif. Subhanallah. Durood sharif will not only help us or is beneficial for us in the dunya, but also it will be our support, it will be our savior when we are crossing the bridge of Sirat. It will help us to enter paradise. So make sure you recite Durood Sharif as much as you can. So let us all collectively recite Durood Pak wherever you are as well. If you're watching this program, just take a moment with love. Let's recite Durood Pak. Sallu ala al-Habib.
Sallallahu ala Muhammad.
Sallallahu ala alihi wa alihi wa sallam. My dear viewers of Madri Channel, today we will be going to our first segment of the day, which is called
My Islam.
I love Islam. I love Islam. I love Islam.
Welcome to our segment, My Islam. This is time where we get a chance to learn about so many beautiful things about our religion. And today we have one wonderful topic, and that is, should I give it away? Let's have a quick pause. Can you guess the topic today? Obviously, it's an Islamic topic.
Look, give us a clue first.
Shall I give you a clue?
Yeah.
It's something to do with emotions.
When you're feeling angry.
Say again?
It's about like feeling angry and managing the anger.
Ooh, that's very, very close. In fact, that's correct.
Yeah?
The theme is correct. But well, I need to guess the title. The title's a bit different though. But that is what we want to talk about. We want to talk about anger. We want to teach you how to be angry. We want to tell you how to not be angry.
How much words are there in the title?
Ooh, this time is a different kind of title. It's got four words. But two of them are same.
Okay, then tell us two of them.
Them two which are same, they are Muslim. So in the title, we got the word Muslim two times. It's an interesting one.
Save angry Muslim Muslim.
Save angry Muslim Muslim.
Non-Muslim to Muslim.
What are the other two words?
Subhanallah. The then I'll give you the answer.
Okay.
Come on, Hashim, what do you think?
Non-Muslim.
It's like a cure for anger. So a Muslim needs to be something. It has to be something Muslim and something Muslim. That's like a cure for anger. When someone's angry, he's furious, he's angry, he's irritated, what does he need to do? He wants to do something. When you're angry, you want to do something and you know normally it's not the good tantrum thing that you want to do.
Shout. Yeah?
So what do you need to do to control yourself? Something Muslim
Okay, wait. Can you give us a
Quran?
It starts with
one
S.
More word. Can you give us one more full word?
Salat. First word starts with S. S Muslim and C Muslim.
Strong Muslim.
Yes. You have to be strong Muslim.
Strong Muslim, calm Muslim.
Say again.
Strong Muslim, calm Muslim.
Subhanallah. Our Babaji has got it correct.
Strong well Muslim, calm Muslim.
Yes. If you're angry next time, you need to show that you are a strong Muslim and a calm Muslim. That's what you need to show. Today, inshallah, Azawajal, we are going to talk about a situation that we all fall in. Some people, maybe 10 times in a day. Some people, maybe 100 times a day. Where we get angry. Where we get angry. We get frustrated. Yeah. Today, we're going to analyze this. We're going to try to understand why do we get angry? What happens? And what leads if you show anger? What happens if you're angry? What are the harms of anger? And most importantly, we're going to talk about some of the solutions. What is the cure for anger as well, inshallah, azawajal. But what I want to do, I want to share with you something first. There was a pious man. He had a very strange incident in his life. And once, he says that, and this is like, I'm talking about centuries ago, from the tribe of Bani Israel, many, many, many centuries ago. This pious man, he was a good individual. He was someone who, you know, worshipped Allah Ta'ala. He was on a way, and suddenly, I'm sharing a story to you, and I'm going to ask you questions. A pious man from Bani Israel was traveling somewhere. On the way, suddenly, a rock fell from the top and was close to his head. Just imagine, like, there's like a hill going past. You're under a hill, you're walking, and a rock is falling and it's gonna hit your head. He started doing dhikr of Allah, and that rock moved away from him. Subhanallah. Later on in that same journey, he saw terrifying lions and beasts that appeared in front of him. But he did not panic. He remained strong. He had courage to stay there. And he continued the dhikr of Allah. He started remembering Allah Ta'ala.
Subhanallah.
And because of this, Allah Ta'ala protected him from those beasts. This pious man, later, he started performing prayer. He started performing namaz. And this time, like, it was so scary that a snake wrapped itself around his foot, crawled over his body, and reached his head. You know, when we are reading namaz, even a spider that goes past, we start panicking. You know, we can't stand in one place. If there's a little snail or something, small insect, we start panicking, get scared. This is a snake. Not just going past you, but wrapped itself around this man. And then it crawled up on his body and went top of his head. Allahu Akbar, this was scary. Just talking about it is so scary. Just imagine, you know, how that person would be feeling. But this pious man, he was so drowned and so focused in the prayer. When I say drowned, I mean drowned in the love of Allah. He was so engaged, so passionate, so focused in the prayer, he did not get scared. This pious man, he continued praying. And when he intended to go to perform a sajda, when he goes to the ground, this snake, it wrapped itself around his face. And then when he would go down to perform the sajda, this snake would come down and would open its mouth as if it's about to bite him. You know, in the sajda place. That's scary. And then this man, when he would come down to perform sajda, with courage, with strength, without fear, he will move that snake away to the side and he will successfully prostrate and perform the sajda. And when he finished his salah, something strange happened. Shaitan, in its true form, appeared in front of him and said, it was me who did all this to you. So all this trouble that you had in this journey, it was me. It's not these scary things. It's me. And he said to him, you're a very courageous man. You're so strong. I'm quite impressed by you. Therefore, I have decided that I won't ever incite you through evil whispering. I won't scare you now. You know what? You're so strong. You're so courageous. You've got so much strength. You know what? You're a top guy. I'm really impressed by you. You know what? Because you're so strong, I'm going to leave you. I won't disturb you now. And he goes, I'm not going to disturb you anymore. Let's be friends. So Shaitan was putting a trap here. Said, let's be friends. And remember this man, this was an ordinary man. If he was an ordinary man, he would be scared. He would run away. He would run away a mile. But this person was something, he was a unique individual. He has so much love for Allah Ta'ala. He has so much strength of Iman. He realized, he knew, this was another attempt of Shaitan, a trap from Shaitan. So he said, this young man said to this Shaitan, you tried to scare me, but Alhamdulillah, I did not get scared. And I will never be your friend. I won't be your friend. Why should I be your friend? That's a lesson for us. Before I continue, that is a very important lesson. If you have a wrong type of person, wants to make friends with you, why should you be friend with someone? Why should you be friend with someone who's got bad habits? You know is not a nice person. He's got bad character in him. Why do you be his friend? Sometimes, you know, we're too soft. No, we're too kind in a way that, you know, even like evil guys, they come and they make friends with you and then you end up doing wrong things. So sometimes you need to show that inner strength, the strength of Iman, and say no to those things. And that's what this person did. This young man, he said no friends to Shaitan. Okay, Shaitan still wanted a bit of interaction. He wanted to make friends. So Shaitan said, okay, if you don't want to make friends, then at least ask me the condition of your family. Remember, he's on a journey, this man. So ask me about your family. How's your family doing behind? What will they go through after your demise? When you pass away, what will your family do? How will they live? Ask me about that, I'll tell you. The pious man replied, I don't need to ask you. You're nothing to me. Why should I ask you? Shaitan said, then at least ask me how I deceive people. How I cheat people. The young man said, yes, tell me this thing. So now Shaitan is about to reveal a secret. Shaitan says, I have three traps. This is how I deceive people, how I cheat people. Number one, stinginess. Number two, anger. Number three, intoxication. So number one, stinginess. So a feeling that you get in the heart sometimes that you don't want to share. You want to keep it to yourself. You always have that feeling that I've got less money. I want to save money. I want to keep the money with me. I want to keep it so close to me. I don't want to give it to anyone. I don't want to buy food for the family. I don't want to give it to my neighbors. You know that mindset of being stingy. This comes from Shaitan. And what this does, the stinginess, in a way, stinginess leads to the love for wealth. And that's harmful. Number two, anger. So from here we learn anger is a trap of Shaitan. Shaitan makes you feel angry, and angry, when you're angry, then you end up doing such things, then you regret, and sometimes you can't make up for them. For example, in anger, so your mom said something to you and you didn't like it. What do you do in return? There's a full water, a glass of water in front of you. You picked it up and you whacked it on the wall and the glass broke. Water spilled, glass broke. And because you were angry, you did it. But later on, how will you make up for this? What are you going to say? Mom, I'm really sorry. I made a mistake. I should have done this. Have you said this? But will the glass come back now? Can you rewind now? Can you, play back and get the glass back into normal shape? It's not going to happen. That's gone. Sometimes in anger, you do things. You can't repeat them now. You can't make up for them. You can't replicate them. So this is something we need to understand. Third, he says the third trap is intoxication. So you know when people take drugs or alcohol that messes their mind up and they lose their state. They don't know what they're doing. They feel so high. They feel like they own the world. They're like the richest person on the earth. And they could do whatever they want. And they lose sense. This is called intoxication. It's a big word, but it means when they lose their sense due to like wrong things. So these are three traps of shaitan. When someone is involved in these, they end up doing wrong things. So today, alhamdulillah, we've learned that shaitan has three traps. Before we continue, let's quickly go to these kids, ask them some questions about the story we've just learned so far. Right, boys, are you ready for the quiz?
Yeah.
This young man that was traveling, which tribe was he from? Put your hand up. Will you put the hand up first?
Come Bani on. Israel.
Bani Israel. Well done. When he was traveling, what did he encounter first? Hand up again. Come on.
A boulder coming down from a hill.
Good. And how did he tackle that, Ali?
So he did the zikr of Allah Almighty.
Subhanallah. So we learn from the power of zikr of Allah. Yeah. This is one example of the power of zikr of Allah.
You can be protected. Right now.
Subhanallah. Whilst we remember the zikr of Allah, why don't we just take a pause in the program and let us all do tasbih. Let's all do zikr of Allah. I'm going to say this kalima, these words, and alhamdulillah it is mentioned about these words, and when you say these words, you are planting a tree for yourself in Jannah. So these are the praise of Allah Ta'ala as well, hamd and tasbih, and also these are like as if you are planting tree for yourself in Jannah. Come on everyone, let's take a pause then. Come on then. Wherever you are, I want you to repeat these words. Subhanallah. Subhanallah. Let's shout it three times. Subhanallah. 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 Now say Alhamdulillah.
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 Allahu Akbar.
Allahu Akbar.
Allahu Akbar.
Allahu Akbar.
Allahu Akbar.
Allahu Akbar.
Allahu Akbar. La ilaha illallah.
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 Muhammadur Rasulullah.
Muhammadur Rasulullah.
Sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Subhanallah. Subhanallah. That was really nice. Thank you, Ali, for reminding us. That gave us the opportunity to do zikr of Allah. And there's so much blessings in zikr of Allah. Subhanallah. So that was the first incident. The second incident, what did he encounter?
Lions and beasts.
Yeah, lions and beasts. And what gave him the strength to overcome that?
He did zikr of Allah.
The zikr of Allah again gave him the energy. MashaAllah. And what was the third thing? That was a scary one. Or you think it was okay?
It was like funny.
It was funny.
It wasn't funny.
Let me just ring Mr. Snake. Mr. Snake, Ali thinks you're funny. Oi, oi, oi.
Imagine a person with a snake wrapped around his body.
And that's
Ali,
not just funny. Snake. That's shaitan.
No, do you not remember? Ali, and how's that funny?
A real one.
I think after the program.
And also, that wasn't just a snake, that was shaitan.
You need to tell your dad to take you to a pet shop.
What about venomous?
And tell them to wrap a snake around you.
Oh,
that's scary.
Okay, I'll do it.
No, the pet shops, their snakes are lovely, aren't they? They're kind.
Yeah.
They don't bite, do they?
Yeah, they do.
They don't bite.
Have you ever bit you? Before?
How can you say they play with you?
I don't think I've seen one in real life.
Okay then, so can you tell me what happened, the third incident then?
A snake wrapped around his body while he was doing the namaz.
And then every time he was going to
sajda,
he was so focused in his namaz and the snake was opening his mouth in front of his face as if he was going to bite him. But he just moved the snake away and then went performed sajda.
Wow. That is not easy. It's so easy. It's easy and it's not easy.
No, it's easy when you listen to it, yes. But then it's not easy when you're actually going to do it.
Yes. It's easy to talk about it. It's easy to listen to it. But it's not easy
to do
actually there. The ground reality is, it's not easy. It's something that we can't even imagine. Because we know ourselves. We know how strong we are. Strong as lions. When a little insect comes and we run away, we start screaming, "Mommy, what's happened? Help!" Go on.
In the Quran, it says, "ثُمَّ رَدَدْنَاهُ أَسْفَلَ سَافِلِينَ." It's also all humans, they will eventually become weak. When they reach the old age, they will eventually become weak.
MashaAllah. But when you read the translations, yeah, you need to have it in front of you. Okay. You need to be very careful, especially when you decide Arabic verses. Sometimes you can make a mistake. It's a good practice to recite the verses when it's in front of you, especially when you, although we call you Baba, but you're still babies, aren't you? You're still kids. You're still youngsters, aren't you? So sometimes, especially when it comes to reciting Quran, no one just wait for me, okay? Sometimes when we recite Quran, it's important that, you know, we get checked first. Okay? Don't rush to those things. Okay? We do have general discussion, but when you're actually quoting actual verses of the Quran, yeah, and then you're translating it, that's not a small thing. Yeah, that's not a small thing. Now we've got Quran translations here in front of me. MashaAllah, you got the clear criterion, and you also have the, what is it called? Miftah al-Ihsan, the commentary of the Quran as well. So this is volume 2 in front of me. And you know, whenever you want to talk about them, you need to read it from them. Okay? MashaAllah. Well, good try though. Well done. But what the message you gave was when a person will become old. One thing that you mentioned was that when a person becomes old, it becomes weak. A person becomes weak as well. So you might have the strength today. You might be the strong. You might think you're the strongest person in the city, but remember, one day you'll be probably one of the weakest person in the city as well.
Yeah.
And you don't know. You don't know how what will happen in life. You don't even know if you will reach the old age. We have no idea.
So after he finished his namaz, mm-hmm. The snake transformed into his real form, and that was shaitan. And then I forgot what's happened again. Shaitan said he was a very strong man, very brave, and he wanted to be his friend.
So why did shaitan say those words? To make him feel happy, when you whenever you appreciate someone, that person will be happy, won't he?
Yeah.
And when someone's happy, it's easy to make friends with him.
Yeah.
So this was also a trap of shaitan. Yeah. Now at the end, shaitan mentioned three traps of shaitan. What were they? How he traps people, how he deceives people. Hashim.
So
nice and loud.
The first one was making people stingy.
Yes.
The second one is
making
people angry.
Yes.
And the last one is
intoxication.
Intoxication. Yeah,
when they do wrong things and that they lose their mind. Okay, MashaAllah, well done for remembering. So one of the things is our topic, isn't it? Anger. So today we've learned being angry. So when someone becomes angry, they need to remember that anger is from
shaitan.
Okay? Anger is from shaitan's family. Okay? Now, let me share with you a few narrations first before we go back to Baba Ali. There's a very famous book in Islamic history called Kimiyae Saadat. Kimiyae Saadat. And this is by one of the great scholars. You heard this name, Sayyidina Imam Ghazali. Rahmatullahi ta'ala alayhi. So he writes in his book, curing anger and suffering hardships and showing forbearance while treating it is obligatory. I will start to explain to you guys. Because the majority of people will enter hell due to their anger. Now here, it is mentioned that it's so, so important to find cure for anger. You can't ignore this. If you got a short temper, you go crazy, you yell and scream and you shout at home, you do wrong things when you're angry, that's not a good thing. And it's important, it's very, very important that you find cure. And whilst you're finding the cure for anger, whilst you're treating your anger, in this treatment process, you're facing hardship. It's not easy. You're not going to get rid of it quickly. It's going to take time. So whilst you're taking time, you're showing, you're being patient as well whilst you're treating it. So you need to continue, you need to be steadfast, and we need to cure this. This is so important because curing anger is important, it's necessary. You can't ignore this. Why is it important to cure anger? Because one thing Imam Ghazali rahmatullahi ta'ala has written, he says that majority of people who enter hell will be because of their anger. Because in anger, they will end up doing things that are not allowed, that are not allowed in Islam. That are those things are in the category of being disobedient to Allah Ta'ala. And another place, it is mentioned that Sayyidina Hassan Basri, rahmatullahi ta'ala, a great, great scholar, one of the Islamic heroes. He says, oh man, in the state of anger, you jump up and down too much, lest the next jump should plunge you into hell. Now, what does that mean? This great scholar, he says that in anger, what happens? When a person is angry, he jumps up and down like he's not in his control. He's just doing stupid things. Yeah. So when you're jumping up and down, the next jump that you make, you need to have fear that what if this next jump you make and you end up doing something stupid, and that will take you, that will lead you to the fire of hell. So it's not a joke. It's not a joke. Being, you know, angry is not a joke. It's something serious. Yeah. And anger, what is anger? What would you say? Come on, let's see if the kids' versions of anger. What would you say? What is anger? Anyone?
So you get out of control.
You get out of control. Just then, keep it short. Out of control.
When your face is red.
Your face is red. Like a tomato. Come on.
Crying and screaming.
When you cry and scream.
Cry?
Shout and scream.
Yes. Yeah.
Like. Crying could be as well, but crying, like, you cry for a different reason, don't you? Yeah. So shouting. So what is anger? Anger is that emotion, that feeling, that emotion of one's self that makes a person take revenge on another person or force him to go away. So when you have that feeling that something's happened, something triggered you and you became so angry, got so frustrated, something happened, that you're feeling, and in that feeling, you want to have a revenge on that person. Yeah? Or you want to run away from that place. That thing is called having anger. Now, anger leads to so many destructive things that can harm your afterlife. Anger itself is part of human life. Yeah, it's part of human life, but anger leads you to so many bad things. Yeah, so I'm just going to mention a few points. Anger, so when a person who's angry, he ends up doing so many things. Anger opens the can of worms. Yeah, there's so many things that become part of your character then. Some of them, so anger leads to these type of evil things. Jealousy, backbiting, hatred, breaking ties, lying, dishonoring others, being disrespectful to people, swearing, arrogance, quarreling, mocking others, breaking ties with relatives, and all sort of harms. What led to all this? Mr. Anger. You need to kick out Mr. Anger today. Now, I'm going to turn to the kids again. I want to see if they can give us some treatment for anger. What do you think should be the cure for anger? How, when someone's angry, what could he be doing?
I have a question.
No. You need to answer my question. Thank you.
Read the Quran.
Read the Quran. Okay, when you're angry, just move away from that situation and recite Quran.
If you're angry, if you stand up when you're angry, then sit down. If you're sitting down when you're angry, then lie down. Yeah,
you know, lie down, touch your hands to the earth. That will keep you grounded.
And if that doesn't work, then do wuzu. Because
wuzu is one of them, mashallah. Well done. Ji.
Have a bath.
Yeah, have a bath. Put water on yourself. Either have a shower or do wuzu. And drink water. Drinking water also calms you down. And you know, sometimes when you're angry, your mom, your dad, sometimes they give you water. And you need to take it. Don't just ignore it. No, take that water, drink it. I know you're angry sometimes. You know why they're giving you water to calm you down. You think you don't want to drink it. But if parents give you, drink that water as well. Inshallah, it will cool you down. Inshallah. I'm going to share with you some cure for anger, and I want to see how many you can remember. You can't mention any different ones, okay? The ones I mentioned to you now, these are the ones you're going to mention. Are you ready, boys?
Yeah.
Are you ready?
I have a question.
Not really.
How much of them are there?
Oh, you'll find out shortly.
I have a question.
Number one. If you're angry, apply these rules on yourself. These are the cures, okay? When you're angry, number one, recite ta'awudh. A'udhu billahi minash shaitanir rajim. Number two, recite wala hawla wala quwwata illa billah. Number three, remain silent. Whenever you're angry, just be quiet. Don't speak. Because as soon as you let your mouth open, you won't be able to control it. Yeah, just stay quiet. Number four, make wudu, do wuzu. Number five, sniff water into the nose. You do wuzu, like make sure you sniff water into the nose as well. Don't obviously sniff too much, that goes into your brain. Yeah, like the way you do wuzu. Number six, if you are standing, then sit. Number seven, if you are seated, you're sitting, then lie down and cling to the earth. Yeah, hold the earth.
Cling.
Number eight, like touch the earth. Number eight, you should place your cheek onto the ground. If you are in the state of wuzu, then perform sajda so that you realize that you are made from clay and you are not rightful to be angry, to get angry at anyone else. Number nine, you should move away from the person you are getting angry at. So if you're angry with someone, when you're angry with someone, move away from him. Yeah, just turn away from that person. Yeah, don't stand in front of him. And sometimes what happens, it's not just that occasion. It's like whenever you see that person, you get angry. Yeah, something happens. And if you can't control it, you know you're going to end up doing something stupid. Then just try to avoid him. Number 10, ponder over this, that if you get angry at anyone, then he will also get angry and will take revenge. Person in front of you, don't think he's a weak person. Never consider that. Even if you think this person doesn't fight. Never think that person's weak. Yeah, you will always get into trouble. So these were some. Okay, I mentioned to you 10 cures for anger. Come on, boys. Which one? How many can you remember? Let's start from Hashim. A'udhu billahi minash shaitanir rajim. Ji.
When you're angry, you do wuzu and you sniffle water up your nose.
Up your nose.
Not to your brain, though.
Alhamdulillah, today we had a very insightful discussion. We had a very detailed discussion about angry. Now it's time for us to move on to our next segment of the day. It's
Did you know?
I love Islam. I love Islam. I love Islam.
Sallu ala al-Habib sallallahu ta'ala ala Muhammad sallallahu ta'ala alayhi wa alihi wa sallam. Welcome to our segment. Did you?
No.
No. This is gonna be fun and interesting. Something extraordinary. Well, I want to have a quiz in the studio today. I want you to guess the topic. We're gonna talk about a topic which is linked to last week's Did You Know segment. Who was paying attention last week?
I do not have a good memory. I love Medina.
I love Medina. He's given up already. I think one day we should talk about memory.
I have a question.
How to not have fish memory?
Is it something to do with Mecca.
Close. An event happened close to Mecca, just outside Mecca.
Treaty of Hudaybiyah.
Treaty of Hudaybiyah. MashaAllah. This is linked to that topic. It happened like close to it. It's a separate topic, but similar.
Oh, is it about the water that, that came out of Prophet Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam's hands?
No.
When
it's about
the Prophet made the announcement.
No. The one you're talking about, that's the victory of Mecca. Fatah Mecca.
Battle of Badr?
No. Remember, what was the background of Treaty of Hudaybiyah? Can you remember? We spoke about last week.
They agreed on something.
Yeah, no. What were the Muslims doing there? Where were they going?
To Umrah.
Yeah, from Medina Sharif, they traveled all the way to Mecca.
Oh, I remember last week.
Umrah. And what happened? The people of Quraysh,
They told them
to come next year. During that point, what happened? One of the topic today is called the pledge of Ridwan.
Ridwan,
we can say Ridwan. The pledge of Ridwan. The pledge of Ridwan. There was an allegiance. There was like allegiance. They only give hand to hand. There was an allegiance. The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam took allegiance from the Sahaba ikram. Allahu Akbar. This was like a big moment.
What does allegiance mean?
And allegiance means like, you know, when you say, I'll give you an example. Like, for example, when you when you're making a team. And then you discuss like your mission, your goal, your purpose. And at the end you say, right, who agrees to this? Who says that we're all going to fight together? We're going to be together. We're not going to separate. Give allegiance. Like, yeah, I'm going to follow you. I accept you as my leader. Whatever you say, I will do it. No, like you give, like, you know, in a way you're saying, it's like you're promising, like I will do whatever you say. Yeah. So you give allegiance to someone. Yeah, like I'll give an example, like modern day allegiance is when someone does bay'at, when they do bay'at with an Islamic scholar, he is giving allegiance to that Islamic scholar. He's saying that I accept you, that you are my teacher, you are my Islamic guide, and whatever you do, whatever you say, I will listen to you. I won't question you. And obviously that person you're giving allegiance to is someone who, you can say, is super Islamic. Yeah. He's a great person. He's not like someone like anyone on the street. So there's conditions of being a spiritual guide. Yeah. So Islamic guide. It's like there's loads of rules. There are rules about it. Yeah. But whoever is like a peace sub. Yeah. So when that's like allegiance. So we, alhamdulillah, you know, many people have given allegiance to great, great Islamic scholars in the past as well. And in this day and age, so many great scholars around the world that people give allegiance to. Right. This allegiance was unique, was special. Why? The Sahaba Ikram, they gave allegiance to the Prophet sallallahu ta'ala alayhi wa sallam. Subhanallah. And normally the practice at that time when people used to give allegiance, they used to give a hand. Hand on hand. Like, I give allegiance, I give my pledge, I give my word, I give my promise to you. Yeah? That I will do whatever you say. I will not turn away. I will not get scared. And on this occasion, the pledge of allegiance is a big topic. But one unique thing that happened there. One Sahabi, one companion of the Prophet sallallahu ta'ala alayhi wa sallam, he wasn't present. He wasn't there because he went to do something. Prophet sallallahu ta'ala alayhi wa sallam instructed him to go and do a bit of fact finding. Go in Makkah Sharif, talk to the people there and try to do a deal with them. So they can, like, so we can, so then when you give us the green light, then we will come and perform Umrah. So he was there for a special mission. So he wasn't there. And there was rumors were spreading that Sahabi has been murdered. That there's something's happened, there's a fight that's happened, and now there's like a panic situation. It was a rumor, it was not true. It was a rumor, something happened, that the Sahaba Ikram who were there, they all like panicking. And now anything could have happened. Yeah. And then that's when the Prophet sallallahu ta'ala wasallam took allegiance. And when Prophet sallallahu ta'ala wasallam took allegiance, that told everyone to be firm and strong and they won't run away. They're going to be there. They're going to be with the Prophet sallallahu ta'ala wasallam all the way. In that allegiance, when everyone was putting their hand there, giving their hands in the hand of the blessed hands of the Prophet sallallahu ta'ala alayhi wa sallam, and giving their loyalty, showing their loyalty, that one Sahabi who was not there, that one companion, just imagine how lucky, how honorable, how great that Sahabi is, that the Prophet sallallahu ta'ala alayhi wa sallam used his own hand, put his own hand on the other hand of himself, and he said, this is the hand of the great Sayyiduna Uthman Ghani radiallahu ta'ala anhu. That Sahabi is Sayyiduna Uthman Ghani. He wasn't there. When everyone was giving allegiance, Prophet sallallahu ta'ala sallam took allegiance of Sayyiduna Uthman Ghani. He wasn't even present. He wasn't even there. And the Prophet sallallahu ta'ala sallam, he put his own hand there. Yeah? And this was love. To express love. And if you look at the deep message, that was a sign to everyone that the Prophet sallallahu ta'ala sallam knew that Sayyidina Uthman Ghani radiallahu ta'ala anhu was alive. That's like a message. That Prophet sallallahu ta'ala sallam knew he was alive. He's not passed away. But subhanAllah, this is called the pledge of Ridwan. Subhanallah. Inshallah, one day we might get a chance to discuss more on this topic. But it's here in the pledge of Ridwan, one great thing we learn is the greatness and the honor of Sayyidina Uthman Ghani radiallahu ta'ala anhu, that Rasulullah sallallahu ta'ala alayhi wa sallam, without the presence of Sayyidina Uthman Ghani radiallahu ta'ala anhu, our Aqa alayhi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, the last and final prophet of Allah sallallahu ta'ala alayhi wa sallam, he placed his own hand as if this is the hand of Uthman Ghani radiallahu ta'ala anhu. Subhanallah, that was beautiful. That's love. Subhanallah. And that's showing the world this is the greatness of Sayyidina Uthman Ghani radiallahu ta'ala anhu. Subhanallah. Subhanallah. Sallu ala al-Habib sallallahu ta'ala ala Muhammad sallallahu ta'ala alayhi wa sallam. Nice time for us to move to our next segment of the day. Islamic Heroes.
I love Islam. I love Islam. I love Islam.
Welcome to our segment, Islamic Heroes. Today we've got a tough one. Tough challenge for you boys. I think it's time for a quiz for everyone here in the studio. Are we ready? I want you to guess the personality today.
Is it a Sahabi?
Yes.
Is it Sayyidina Uthman Ghani
radiallahu anhu? Allahu Akbar, you were so close to be far.
No. Okay. Is it from the Ashram of Bashara?
No.
Companion?
It's a very famous name. When I tell you the name, there's a good
is
chance.
Is it Imam Ghazali rahmatullahi
ta'ala? No, he's not a Sahabi.
Oh yeah.
But if he's not from the Ashram of Bashara?
Yes. More or less 124,000 Sahaba Ikram.
No, that's the Prophet.
Sahaba Ikram are like similar number as well. Hmm. Exact number Allah knows.
Yeah, exact number like knows. Around.
Someone who is known for his bravery, his leadership.
Oh, I know. But he's going to be Prophet Ashraim Mubashir, I think.
Nawab was going in the fifth gear that he did a U-turn.
Sayyidina Ali.
MashaAllah. SubhanAllah. Ali someone is not using his brain.
Oh.
You had a clue just now, it's not part of Ashraim Mubashara. Can't believe it. Well, I can't believe it. It has to be Ali. It's only Ali who can do this. Not use the brain sometimes. Uh-oh. Come on, Ashim, who could it be?
Someone
who's known for being a commando or a leader in the battle. Someone who was in the opposite side in the battle of Uhud.
Someone accepted Islam in the battle of Uhud.
Ooh.
I don't remember who it was though. Forgot.
Come on then, who could it be? Ali's doing a bit cheaty here. Come on then, we'll give time for Ali then. Come on then, let's be nice and... Let's be kind to Ali today. Well, whilst Ali is doing this, the rest of you please focus here. Let Ali do the research. All of you, come on, you do your research. So in the segment Islamic Heroes, we are trying to identify the great personality who is...
Sayyidina Abu Sufyan. Is that
it? You got it wrong. Who could it be? You want? I can give you the first letter. You want it in Arabic or English?
English.
English, obviously.
Are you sure?
Yeah.
Okay. The first Arabic letter. Now. I'll give you the first word. The first word is Sayyiduna.
No. We already know that.
We already know that. Please.
It starts with K.
But you said word.
If you get it wrong, first letter. If I give you the first word, that's the name.
Kawali.
Salu ala al-Habib. Sallallahu ta'ala ala Muhammad. Sallallahu ta'ala ala sallam. Ali Nurdu does the same. Pele tolo baad mein bolo.
Tolo what is?
First think, then say.
Pele tolo baad mein
bolo. You say, then you think. I think that needs to change. And the day you change, then you'll qualify for the original Baba. Or qualify for the Baba degree. Okay, I'm going to give you the middle word. Middle word is bin, like son of.
We already know that.
Sayyiduna something of something.
Sayyiduna.
Someone.
K.
Son of someone. K.
What's the second letter?
H.
Boy's name.
Kha. Yes.
Obviously.
Sayyiduna. Khalid bin Walid radiyallahu ta'ala anhu. Who heard that name before? Who heard the name?
I heard it. Rukun Shura Haji Khalid Atari.
Sayyidina Khalid Atari. Sayyidina Khalid Atari. MashaAllah. Rukun Shura. MashaAllah. Sayyidina Khalid bin Walid radiyallahu ta'ala anhu is one of the greatest companions of the Prophet sallallahu ta'ala alayhi wa sallam. And he is known as like the main leader in the battles. He was a commando. He was a genius. He's known as for his bravery, for his strategic plans. He, you know, whenever he got involved in battles, he used to win. Subhanallah. Sayyidina Khalid bin Walid radiyallahu ta'ala anhu. MashaAllah. Whilst we're having a bit of fun, we're having a bit of quiz here. Let me have another quiz in the studio.
Oh yeah, no doubt.
Okay. Let's have a quick quiz. The quiz is, where is the Holy Kaaba? That's an easy question. Let's now go turn to the harder version of the quiz. Ali did ask for the hard question. The hard question is, look, can you see my sleeves? Empty?
Yeah.
Yes, no, Ali, come on. There's nothing in my sleeves, is it?
Yeah.
Is it empty?
Yeah.
Oh, I'm sure of energy. Come on, boys.
Yeah.
Yes, that's more. Now he's gone down. So nothing in my hands, yeah? We got baby Ali here in the studio as well. Nothing in my hands, nothing in my sleeves. Now wash my hands now. I push my hands under the table. Okay.
You can't get it now.
Hold on. About Haman under the table. No man knows. Okay, so no man can say it. But something here now, I'm going to pick up. You have to guess what it is.
What is it?
That's what you have to guess. It's something Islamic, by the way.
It's a respected. It's something to do with a respected building.
Yeah. Because Ali, because no man knows. Okay, no man knows. He can give you clues, but he can't say the name.
I'm not telling you.
Ali, you give no man. You give a clue when I tell you.
What's
that?
Qibla.
Is it Qibla?
How are they going to have Qibla, a whole Qibla?
Qibla, Hashim Sahib.
Kaaba.
Holy Kaaba is in Makkah.
No, like...
Oh, again,
like,
use your brain.
No, like a toy one. Like a toy one.
Okay, model. Say model of Kaaba. No.
Model of a mosque.
Model of a masjid.
No. Is it...
You're not far from it. SubhanAllah. Ali was about to say something, he forgot what he's saying. MashaAllah.
Is it a mountain?
It's a mountain in my foot. SubhanAllah. Under the table. Mountain in the table, under the table. If that's a mountain,
I don't know what to call you.
Wait, let's take a
You're a giant. You're bigger than the mountain.
Wait, you're
taller than the table. So you must be a giant then.
You have to guess it first.
You are a giant to the insects. The insect, Mr. Insect looks at you, he goes, Mr. Giant, how are you? Ji.
Can we take a mouth break?
Is that can you stay to the topic, please?
Give us a clue.
Give us a clue. Come on, give a clue.
Millions of, maybe even billions, use it.
Ooh, have used it.
So,
what could it be?
Umrah?
Ooh, I've got Umrah in the table.
Close.
Oh, Ihram. Ihram.
How can I have Ihram on the table? Ali, have you got a brain? If you have, why don't you use it? Ali, I have to say this time, you got the answer correct.
Oh,
it's ihram. It's an ihram pack, two big sheets of ihram. Yeah? Subhanallah. Whilst we're talking about Hajj, let's do a kalam about Hajj. Millions of people will be traveling for the blessed journey of Hajj. Subhanallah. So now let's take a little break in the program. Let's listen to a kalam about Hajj. Sallallahu alayka ya
Rasulullah wa sallam alayka ya Habiballah ya Rabb Mustafa tu mujhe Hajj pe bula ke main dekh lu aankh se Kaaba tera ya Allah ya Allah ya Allah ya Allah ya Allah Hajj ka sharaf ho phir ata ya Rabb Mustafa Hajj ka sharaf ho phir ata ya Rabb Mustafa meetha Madina phir dikha meetha Madina phir dikha ya Rabb Mustafa ya Rabb Mustafa tu mujhe Hajj pe bula aankhein main dekh lu aankh se Kaaba tera ya Allah ya Allah ya Allah ya Allah ya Allah rukhsu-e Kaaba haath mein zamzam ka jaam ho rukhsu-e Kaaba haath mein zamzam ka jaam ho peekar karu main phir dua peekar karu main phir dua ya rabb mustafa ya rabb mustafa tu mujhe hajj pe bula aankhein main dekh lu aankh se kaaba tera ya allah ya allah ya allah ya allah ya allah tu behisab bakhsh de attar zar ko tu behisab bakhsh de attar zar ko tujhko nabi ka wasda tujhko nabi ka wasda ya rabb mustafa ya rabb mustafa tu mujhe hajj pe bula ke main dekh lu aankh se kaaba tera ya allah ya allah ya allah ya allah ya allah
sallu ala al habib sallallahu ta'ala ala muhammad sallallahu ta'ala alayhi wasallam Now it's time for us to move on to our next segment of the day sunnah and manners
I love Islam I love Islam I love Islam
This is a time where we get a chance to learn about the basic and daily activities that we should be performing according to the beautiful teachings of Rasulullah sallallahu ta'ala alayhi wa alayhi wa sallam Today inshallah azawajal we are going to talk about helping in something Let's see what the kids can guess.
Mosque.
Help. So when we say mosque, try to use the word masjid. The Arabic word is masjid.
Masjid.
Ji. So help is not that, by the way. Helping in?
Masjid.
It's not that.
Helping in
Islam. Helping in tidying up.
Close.
Helping in cleaning.
Close.
Helping
you're there,
washing.
But it's just a different word.
Helping in washing.
Helping in mess.
Good one. That's a top one, that. helping in messing things up?
MashaAllah.
What can I say about your brain here? You've got some really creative ideas that come up. Helping in messing about. No, definitely not. Helping in H. Starts with H.
Helping in Hoover.
Is the, what you said, it was help, close. All them things you said as well, they're all part of it.
Helping in house.
Yes. Yes, that's like the first part of the word.
Helping in house chores.
Yes, I'll give you that
house
one.
House cleaning.
No, I'll give you that one.
Helping in,
housework. Yeah. House chores, housework. So mashallah, helping in household, helping at home. Yeah, this is also from the sunnah of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Sometimes when it comes to like house activities, we just leave it to certain family members. There's loads of things that parents do. Loads of things. For example, a lot of things mom does at home. Mom, sisters, aunties, grandma, they do loads of things at home. And we just leave it to them and we think, you know, it's their duty, it's their job, they have to do it. They're doing it out of love for you. They're doing it, they care for you. They do it because they like you. They feel that's the best way they can look after you. Because it's your need. But have you ever thought, no, do I not need to help out? This is something we should do. We should sometimes try to help them in, you know, washing up, help them in, you know, cutting some fruit or whatever it is. Just ask them, depending on your age group, they'll give you a task. Say, mom, I want to help. Dad, I want to help. Come on, I want to do something. But please tell me. You be the person. You know, initiate it. Start it. Let them know that you're interested. Yeah, help out, even if it's, you know, hoovering up, vacuum cleaners. You know, if it's washing something, whatever it is. Something. Sometimes you can pour clothes into the washing machine. Yeah, or helping them to take it out from the washing machine. When you speak to your elders, you know, you need to have an adult with you. They will help you about helping with housework, even food time. How can you help in food time? Can you give me some ideas?
Cooking.
Come on, talk about 5, 6, 7 year olds.
Oh, okay. I saw you talking.
Helping with food.
Ooh, you can help with eating food.
No, like what do you say again? What do you
need? Yeah, with like food time, like meal time.
Oh, help clean up after.
Yes, like pick up, you know, tidy the table. Take things to the kitchen. That's a good way.
Help distributing the food.
Helping distribute the food, yeah. If you want to give the food out somewhere, you can't, even in the house as well. Especially if you had a khatam, you had a program in your house, and there's that nice food, you've done your dua, now there's like loads of, there's things on your trays. You know, pick them up, if it's fruit, for example, you know, give it out to people. And you be the person who gives out. That's a sign of love and showing kindness.
Cleaning the table.
Cleaning the table as well. Yeah, don't just dirty the table. Clean it as well. MashaAllah. Helping in the household is also from the sunnah of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Help them out. Help out. No, don't just like leave things to them. Even shopping. How can you help your like father or your uncles or with shopping?
Putting the clothes in the cart.
Shopping? Yeah.
Shopping
cart or the trolley. Put food there. Go with them and buy things. But or just choose only your favorite thing and just buy them and that's it. Stay there and don't do anything else. Help out. Think like a family person. When you go shopping, I want you to think that you're the main boss in the house. Yeah, and you need to make sure you care for everyone. You need to buy things what they need. You need to go to the shopping list and tell your dad where's the next item. What's the next item and where is it in the shopping center? How do I know?
How do you know where it is?
How do you know where it is? Well, you have to look up. You have to look up for the signs, isn't it? By using
brain.
Eyes.
Now it's time for us to quickly move to our final segment. Someone's favorite segment. It's called
Harmful habits.
I love Islam. I love Islam. I love Islam.
Right, this is the time where we identify some harmful habits in kids. Kids, yeah. I don't know why I look at one person when I say this. When we identify some harmful habits, and we collectively try to find solutions in them, for them. Okay. So today's topic is an interesting one, and it's an easy one, but I'm going to turn it to the kids again. Let's see if they can guess the topic. Come on, boys.
Yawning. I just did
it. Exactly, you did that, but it's not.
Coughing.
It's about
something we do every day. Something we do every day. Remember, it's something we do. And these days, unfortunately, people don't think this is bad. Like, for example, swearing or hurting someone. They know they're doing bad, aren't they?
Stealing.
This one, stealing, they know they're doing bad, though. Generally, they know, don't they? They know it's wrong. This thing, not just kids, like even adults as well, these days, they don't even feel that it's wrong.
Intoxication. Intoxication.
They know that's wrong, innit? That's just, generally everyone. Generally everyone does it.
Stinginess.
Everyone's stingy. That's a good one. Stingy person thinks everyone is stingy. Are you thinking everyone is stingy? I have strong confidence in you, all of you, that you probably do this as well.
Can you give us a hint?
Can I give you a hint?
Yes.
Today we're going to talk about the two W's. Two words, they both start with W.
World, world.
World, world.
Wow.
Well done.
World views.
World views.
WW.
Today I've learned something new. Views starts with W.
World views.
View doesn't start with
view,
W.
Wow,
world.
Views.
It's just V, not W.
Wanting.
G?
Wanting.
Wanting. Wanting what? It's got ing in it. You got the ing right.
Wanting, wanting.
It's wasting water. Wasting water. When we do wuzu, a lot of kids, when you do wuzu, what do you do?
Just
open the tap, you turn the full tap on, you go on a crazy mode, and the water's splashing everywhere. You're doing wuzu. Whilst you're doing wuzu, have you ever noticed the amount of water a lot of people use these days for wuzu? If you were to put that into a bucket, you can use that much water for having a bath, a full bath. You're using so much. To wash your face, how much water do you need? Handful. You put your hand like this, put water there.
Three handfuls.
Three handfuls to wash it three times. That's it. And three handfuls, how much will it be? Like a glass?
Not even a glass. Like,
depends on your hand.
This much of a bucket.
This of a bucket? That's a bit too much.
Like,
big.
This big of a bucket.
Okay.
And then
so, but waste a lot of water. Wasting water is something that we need to realize, that water is a gift from Allah Ta'ala. It's so precious. In Islam, we need to understand that we need to value water, honor it, respect it. Don't waste water. Don't just splash it everywhere. Summer coming up, a lot of kids will have water. What do they call it? Water fights.
Yeah.
Water fights. They'll have small water balloons. They'll be splashing at each other. You're
water
having
guns.
Fun. You're enjoying yourself. But have you noticed the thing that you're throwing away? That's precious.
But you know what?
There are people, not like few people, not like hundreds of people. There are millions and millions of people around the world who don't have the facility of clean water.
Maybe even.
They don't have clean water to drink. They struggle. They struggle. They have so much illness because they don't have clean water to drink. And you're just wasting water. Next time you waste water, remember the poor people. Remember those who are suffering. Remember those who are going through difficulty. They don't have water to drink. There are people who don't have water to drink. They don't have clean water. And then you have some people who don't even have water. They struggle. I'm not a few people, I'm talking about like full village. There's some villages where people have to travel like 4 or 5 miles away to bring clean water for themselves. Some people take camels or horses or animals, you know, they have big drums. They fill that in, they travel so far, they load the camels or their animals with big drums of water. They bring it to the village. They probably use it for a few days. Maybe one day and they have to go again every day. And we are just freestyle, we're just wasting water, we don't care. do not buzz it. That's not a good thing. Remember one thing before we end. Remember one thing. Allah Almighty does not like those who waste. So therefore, stop wasting water. Value water. May Allah Ta'ala forgive our shortcomings and help us to honor water, inshallah, azza wa jal. Sallu ala al-habib.
Sallallahu ta'ala ala
Muhammad. Sallallahu ta'ala alayhi wa sallam. Right, boys, what was the quiz of the day?
The quiz of the day.
What was the question? I want you to say nice and loud, Hashim.
Where's the Holy Kaaba?
MashaAllah. First of all, we do dua. That Allah Ta'ala takes you to the Holy Kaaba. So where is it? Come on then. Ali, can you tell us which city is the Holy Kaaba in? Ali.
Saudi Arabia.
City. Subhanallah.
Saudi Arabia.
Okay, next person. You got that wrong.
Mecca.
It's in? Mecca. Sharif. What's the answer then? Let's look at the screen. The answer is Mecca Sharif. Subhanallah. The Holy Kaaba is in Mecca. May Allah Ta'ala take us all to Mecca, inshallah, azza wa jal. Sallu ala al-habib, sallallahu ta'ala ala Muhammad, sallallahu ta'ala alayhi wa alihi wa sallam. Now it's time for us to take a break now, inshallah, azza wa jal. We'll see you again next week. Same time, same place, only on Madani Channel. I love
Islam.
I love Islam. I love Islam. I love Islam. I love Islam.